All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome to my local public library.
Ooh, I love going to a library.
I love going to a library, too. Primarily, one of my favorite reasons to go to the library, A, because I think that the library is a helpful institution for a community, but also because that is one of the primary places where you're going to find a spinner rack full of paperbacks.
Yeah.
I
always wanted one of those.
I love a spinner rack full of paperbacks. Thing is, you could put anything in there. You could put like bags of tea, spin it around, grab whatever tea comes up, put your games in there, you know?
You could.
Yeah.
Those are the things.
Those are the things. But I just...
I have a bunch of old magazines.
Uh-huh.
I like those, like, you know, important issues of Nintendo Power to me or Dragon Magazine or what have you. And my ultimate goal for, like, if I ever buy a house or end up somewhere more permanent than here is to have a spinner rack with all that stuff, like in whatever my man basement or just, you know, basement.
The thing about a spinner rack is that it ends up, I said spinner rack and I feel like I named
that is a Pokemon.
Okay, cool.
That is a Gen 2 Pokemon.
Cool. So the thing about a spinning rack is that it's actually like, it's like low footprint, you know, like if you can fit a lot of stuff into a very small space. But yeah. I just love, you know, I remember just every week going to the library, and even though I was a little kid, I would feel precocious and go over to the adult section, and they would have the sci-fi and fantasy section. I would beeline for the spinner rack and give it a twirl and then pull something off of there. And that would be what I read. Yeah. Oh, so shit. Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I called ahead to the local library. Not especially busy right now. So the librarian cross-referenced and found basically anything that related to a game. We're going to spin this bad boy. We're going to stop it. I'm going to pull a book off of here, and we're going to play whatever game is based on it.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Here we go. Tech Wars.
All right.
Finally,
there is a Tech Wars game. No, we'd have to talk about Tech Wars eventually.
Yeah. Well, the listeners have to learn about Tech Wars.
Yes. So if you want to do the spin, I will do the stop and grab. Oh, nope. A lot of them gone flying. All right. That makes it easier. Okay, cool. And I'm going to pull this off of here. What's this? See here. Moretta, Dragon Lady of Pern.
Oh, well, that's the book. I was like, I fucking played the wrong game.
No.
Oh,
okay. No, there's a note in the back from the librarian. Apparently they made a game that's kind of like based on this a little bit. That's weird. They made a game based on Pern. Nothing happens in those books.
It, you know, there's a lot of them though.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
Can't argue with quantity.
Ballantyne ain't fucking around. In Delray, they're bringing up the rear.
Yeah. Got to keep pumping those bad boys out.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering, where... Wait, shit. I accidentally closed the tab. It's making me log into Twitter again.
Okay.
I thought I saved my password. Hold on a second. Oh, fuck it. We'll just skip this one. And we're talking about the Dragon Riders of Pern game.
Oh, I love it. I love it when the people who submit those do like a little sketch to like throw the other person off balance.
It's a huge Guppy thing.
Yeah.
It happens in Guppy reviews. Like we read reviews on that show.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are real clever.
Gotcha.
Real fucking clever.
Oh, you think this is a game?
So good.
You think you can hop in here? you think you're so pretty?
Yeah, they'll get old though. Yeah. Things are so pretty. I remember I was young once. And I used to be pretty, but not so more.
I used to be pretty, but not no more. Oh, Swifty. Come on, Swifty. Cheer up, Swifty. This week we are talking about Dragon Riders Chronicles of Pern, and this episode kind of forms a dramaturgical dyad with the Companions of Xanth episode. Wasn't a surprise. I said that we were gonna do this back when we covered Xanth, because the Pern books, that was a big thing for me back in middle school.
Yeah. Just imagining, like, next time we do a live show, we're gonna like put, you know, me on one end of the stage and you on the other end of the stage, and we're gonna just like do that thing that the bulls do when they're about to run, you know, like dig their feet
just
into the ground,
starting at each other.
I'm gonna go Xanth, 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 and you're gonna go Pern, 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 and then we're gonna run into each other, and whoever falls down, that world loses.
Yes. So. Yeah. But there was a book based on the Dragon Riders of Pern, a game based on the Dragon Riders of Pern, developed by Ubisoft for the Dreamcast and PC. Came out, I think, in 2000 or so. I never played it back in the day. It's kind of always been a curiosity for me. Never got it for the Dreamcast, and Dreamcast emulation has finally gotten to the point where I could reliably try it out. And I can confidently say that if I played this in the year 2000 when it came out, this would have been the craziest, best thing, the most Cole Nip style product you could ever find. It is
not least of which because of the license, but also because it's like, what if a deep voiced dragon just bothered you to give him lotion for the first 10 minutes of it? I was surprised by how much of this is about a like flat affect dragon being like, you're not lotioning me.
My hide itches, Kanor.
Kanor, are you ignoring me? I need lotion. Lotion me, Kanor. Oil me. It just like the game is just like a deep voice guy doing that. It reminded me a lot of the Luck Dragon from Neverending Story.
Oh yeah.
You were sleeping.
If he had psoriasis.
Yeah. Just like you could scratch my haunches because you were sleeping.
Yeah, no, that's the tutorial to get you to go around. No, this is like it's like an RPG adventure game that controls like a survival horror, and it's set in this boring world where nothing really happens except a bunch of like political intrigue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this adventure game, nothing happens at all. I went through the combat tutorial.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I hate this. This is annoying to control and the voice acting is really bad.
Yes.
So I stopped.
I love the voice acting on your main guy. Like everybody, they sound like a text to, they sound so much like a text to speech that it's like almost classics of game.
It's also in this world, like, you know how in fantasy worlds, they invent things that mean the same thing. So like famously in Lord of the Rings, instead of the Eastern land and the Western land, there's you know, Essos and Westeros.
Yes. You know, yeah.
Which prompted, my old friend, Jeremy, Dizek to, you know, say, we'll show you a Leftos or right hawk, which is very funny.
Yeah.
In this, instead of headache, you're sore headed or you have sore head.
Yes.
And I was like, I now I know they're talking about a headache, but sore head kind of, I thought meant stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit, but they're talking about a headache and they talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the first, like, I was surprised by how monofocused the first like 20 minutes of this game are.
Mm-hmm. Well, your character, you're a dragon rider who wakes up after a long party because the Weir just got a shipment of Benden wine. The thing is, the wine that is made by the people of the Benden Hold, where the Harpers have their guild, is the best in all of Pern.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about Pern, so I didn't know it was the future.
No,
so it was
that's
very
a thing.
Confusing to see that they're on a different planet where they changed aliens into something they call dragons and then called them dragons to honor them.
Yep.
Honor the old myths of Earth. I was like, why wouldn't you just make it dragons? Like, it's so fucking weird.
Well, so the thing is, you know, as you're reading these, like, it's technically a spoiler that it's so far in the future that it's the past kind of thing. Because that's only slowly revealed. Like, the first, like, trilogy of Pern books, like, they make mention of things like, you know, like the glow lights and how only like certain places have them. And, you know, they talk about just all of these, like, you know, holds and archives of information that are inaccessible and only like certain people can get to them or whatever. But like you very slowly over the course of like a trilogy and a half find out about the past of these people and how they how they came to be here. The idea being that as Earth became less and less inhabitable, basically a bunch of pilgrims decided we want to go and reset to be purely agrarian. What is a planet that we can find that will support that? Let's get as many people there, leave our ships in orbit and like basically strand ourselves there so that we can start humanity again elsewhere. Not knowing that they posted up on a planet that would be, you know, scourged by these fungal aliens every 200 years.
Strips or whatever they're called.
The thread.
The strands. Threads.
The thread.
I'm looking at a map of Pern. What can you tell me about the town known as Borgfort or Borgkrom?
I have no idea. I don't know. That's a dumb name for something.
Most of them are called Borg.
Okay.
There's Borg Hoogton.
Okay.
Borg Nabol, Borg Fort,
so,
Borg Zuidbol, Borg Krom, Borg Talar, Borg Lemos.
That has to be, I'm looking at the Atlas of Pern now, that has to be just a word that means like town, like Berg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, it's just very funny. Like Borgfort.
Uh-huh.
Borgkrom. Like, I come from Borgkrom and I've got sore head from greasing my dragon.
Yeah.
And drinking, you know, Taliesin ale.
Uh-huh.
Until the wee hours. It's very funny fantasy stuff.
Yes. Oh, I mean, very much. I mean, like, this is like, it's not psychedelic like 60s and 70s sci-fi is, but like this is 60s ass fantasy is what you have here, and like that's how you establish that it's a different place. There are just different words for common things. Like this was before that was a dumb cliche.
Yeah.
The
music is very funny in this game. it's like somebody just downloaded Celtic, you know, the Celtic pack for reason and then just like leaned on the keyboard.
Yes,
like everything is a Celtic sound, that wave.
just maximally Celtic
in this future of genetic engineering.
Well, yeah, I mean they have forgotten that, like that's one of the things about the world of this is that because the thread only comes once every 200 years, people just kind of forget that there's this horrible scourge that will ruin the planet if they don't have everything set up. Very forgetful people as society like reorients away from it. But yeah, like they very specifically hid the past of the people who came here from the society that would come afterwards.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. I feel like
the old this covers.
Oh, go ahead,
man. I'm looking at the covers of some of the older books.
Mm-hmm.
Like I understand why this would be a nip for somebody. Like, that's a slur, right?
Well, what?
I meant like coal nip or catnip or Gary nip.
Okay.
I didn't want to say that in isolation. I understand why this would be peel.
Okay. What's this? Wait, saying something is coal nip is a slur?
I said it was a nip.
Oh,
is that a slang?
Yeah, that is.
Yes, it is.
That is a derogatory term for people from Japan.
We got to stop saying coal nip and Gary nip.
Do we?
Maybe. I'm scared. sorry. I meant like an appealing little. You know, little like treat.
Yeah, I've tweeted about something being coal nip, and nobody's corrected me. So
yeah,
a problem, let me know. I won't say it again for this episode or until I hear something back.
Well, but I said it without saying coal. I just said it on purpose. Yeah. I was trying to say how it could be appealing in general.
Uh-huh.
Was my goal.
Yes. No, the covers are great. It's one of the reasons. I mean, look at the cover for Dragon Song and tell me that that's not a book you would want to read if you are 12 years old. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. This looks great. And everybody wants to ride a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would actually be horrible.
Yeah.
Like you have these bugs in your teeth.
They fly up real high. Yeah. No, it'd be the worst. No.
They're too big to have like a saddle.
Right.
You know, you'd be doing the splits the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd be riding on its neck.
which they have to turn yeah. quite a bit. And the thing is, something about the dragons that makes them, really powerful, not just the fact that they chew these stones and can belch fire to burn the threat out of the air, but also they can port. They teleport. Mm-hmm. So as they figure out where the Threadfall is going to be, they port to where it goes. And the further the distance that you go, the longer you spend in the space between, which is mm-hmm. nightmarishly cold, dark, and unpleasant.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in, like, things that transcend time or space but actually take as long as they would.
Yeah. You
know? Like how we're all time traveling at a very slow speed into the future.
Uh-huh.
You know, right now, like I can time travel 10 years into the future. It's just going to take me,
10 years,
a bit over 9 years. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So. No. In this case, it's instantaneous, though. The plot of the first book does involve somebody figuring out that if you port far enough, you can time travel by thinking about by picturing a destination in the past. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you kept up with these? How many of these books did you read?
Let me look at the list of it's all over the place. Let me look at
Did
this.
Did you get the Todd
fiction.
McCaffrey years?
I read one or two Todd McCaffrey books, but it was like beyond the ones that I was really invested in. Mm. So I read. Let me see here: Dragonflight, Dragon Quest, The White Dragon, yes, Dragon Song, Dragon Singer. I left off like after All the Weirs of Pern. They read the Master Harper. I left off at Skies of Pern, so I guess I got about halfway through this.
The Wikipedia picture, I just sent it to you for Anne McCaffrey, and I don't want to pick on her, but she kind of looks like Steve Bannon.
She does. She has kind of always looked like that. She's still alive? Is that a...
Yes, it looked like I was seeing like reference to interviews.
Okay.
Where she was talking about how she was unsure if she'd be able to continue because,
Well, she's old.
Health stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. She was born in fucking 1926. Good God.
Yeah. Yeah. let her rest.
Oh, no. She's dead. She's dead as fuck.
Born. Oh, died. Here we go.
Yeah. Died in 2011. So dead for 10 years. Good for her.
Died in Dragonhold Underhill. Died section says 21 November 2011, died age 85,
okay.
Dragonhold-Underhill, County Wicklow, Ireland. She died in a place called Dragonhold Underhill.
That has to be like the name of the place where she she must have named her
name
house.
Town.
Yeah, something like that. I don't have anything about her.
Oh, yeah, it's her own individual house, the luxury house that dragons built.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, she died at her home in Ireland following a stroke.
This house does not look like something I would call Dragonhold Underhill.
No.
It's like a big ranch-style home.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's unfortunate. It
doesn't even really look that, like, Irish.
No.
Yeah.
Get off it, man. Like, at the very least, this should be, this should be Hobbity.
Mm-hmm. At the very least. Model it, make it like the holds in the book, Build it into the side of a hill or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Holes in any book.
Well, especially the ones that you wrote, you visualized them and stuff, but maybe she didn't want to live underground. Maybe she wanted to live in a house.
Ridiculous. Like as somebody who has lived in a lot of basement apartments, she doesn't know what she's missing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And now she never will.
No. Yeah.
We'd
be remiss if we didn't talk about some of like the weird sexual stuff around her. And like,
tell me.
Yeah, so this is unconfirmed, but there is something called the tent peg theory that she supposedly advanced in talking about this. So
if I Google that, am I going to regret it?
You're probably going to regret it. Wait for me to explain it. So Anne McCaffrey was like, once the 90s came, very permissive about people doing fan work. And also like making fan games, fan muds, things like that, on early internet kind of things. But she had like, a set of rules for like what could be considered a set of rules that she wanted people to like follow about like how the universe worked. Right. In order for things to be considered like canon or something like that. And something that is true is that the different colors of dragon that you have, the brown, the gold, the bronze and the red and the green, they tend to take people of different different sexes, right? So like gold tend to go after women, and they end up being like the queens, right? That lay the most that lay most of the eggs. Bronze goes for men, but there are green and blue dragons that can go for one or the other. When the dragons mate, because they are psychically linked to their riders, the riders are compelled to mate as well.
Continue. Get into some Omegaverse shit.
It ends up getting a little bit into that, and that becomes like a kind of a source of the main characters of the original trilogy, Lessa and Falar. They are married, but they don't like each other. They're just together because their dragons are, and because of the weir and stuff. So when they have sex, it's not necessarily great.
Tell me how this relates to a tent peg and what you started.
Sorry,
it's a long story. Just tell me some people had, like, somebody was a bad lay, you know, or they're compelled, like, well, dragon told me to do it.
My dragon told me to do it. That's why we have to be together, you know, forced into it. No, but with greens and reds, it's possible that, you know, men will sleep with men and women can sleep with women. Okay. And apparently, and this is something that she never really lived down, like in a Q&A or whatever, you know, people ask, like, so basically, like, really dumb questions that you wouldn't ask today, like, okay, so what if a green latches onto or imprints on a straight person and they go have sex with a man? Does that make them gay? Does imprinting onto a green make a man gay?
And McCaffrey. If this happened, did that make me gay? And McCaffrey, can you confirm or deny what makes people gay? And McCaffrey,
author
of the Dragon Riders of Pern
novels. And apparently, and this is a thing that she never lived down, she said, yes, that does, and brought up the idea of this tent peg that, you know, if a man has sex with a man even once, that makes them gay. So even if they, even if a tent peg went into a man's butt, any kind of butt play or something like that would end up making them gay. Obviously nonsense, hateful, right?
Yeah.
And
fascinating.
Yeah. And just
like that, what an arbitrary thing.
Yeah.
Jeez, Anne McCaffrey. Yeah.
And just it kind of became a thing that, you know, it's not confirmed that it actually happened. She denied it. Who knows? I don't even know where I fall down on it. I'd rather just lean on like the weird compelled sex stuff in the books, just kind of not being good in general. Like that's enough for me. Like, I didn't catch that when I was reading that at like 12 or, you know, 12 to 14 is like when I read these books, right? Just didn't catch that at all. Well, wasn't sensitive to it. I would probably fall down on the side of like, oh, you just wouldn't write that today. Like, regardless of what she actually personally said. So you don't have to find reasons to call the work problematic. It's kind of where I come down, I guess. No. Yeah.
Yeah. The, there's a lot of like fiction that goes in with compelled to mate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very, very like interesting idea to some folk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then not super into it.
Yeah. Like,
you
know, like
you can just want something and then have it. And then
And you can, or not want something and then not have it happen to you. Yeah.
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 You know, and, or want something just because you want it and then engage it or pursue it without having a dragon tell you to, or a werewolf to tell you to, or whatever, you know, fiction or mythical creature.
Yes.
You have to tell you to.
I think like generally like progress has been breaking away from the idea that because of tradition, this is where your dick has to go, or this is who you have to allow access to whatever parts you have. Like, tradition shouldn't define that, I think, would probably, like, that is one definition of progress, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have the Nomai to thank for that, because they created a system where our dicks went in all the different directions at once, using a time loop.
Good Outer like a beautiful Wilds. Asterisk. Sorry. That's a beautiful like asterisk.
Outer Wild things.
Yeah, like, just Outer Wilds things. It's just weird that this was just like the first of these books that I read was just on a shelf in the middle school library. And then, you know, had that sex stuff in it. That's just weird to think of. But I remember how great it felt, because like I read the trilogy of this, and then just going to this is before really I had access to the internet or would have thought to look at it. Did you ever have that moment when you went to the library? And then either like, for me, it was doing a search in the, like in the card catalog, like the DOS system where you could just put in author name and see what comes back. And then I put that in and then came back with a whole bunch more of these books, more than the three I just read. And I could I could order them and complete the trilogy or complete the series. Just kind of like, oh, there are so many more of these. Oh yes. A world of infinite really possibilities. I love it. Just that whole big printout, you know?
Yep. That's a really good feeling. I also, kind of attached to that, I used to have a really fun feeling where you would go into a bookstore and something supplemental would come out. So there'd be like, you know, I'd be into Xanth or the Robert Asprin books or the Belgariad or something. And then somebody would put like the Atlas of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, fun. Like I get to actually like do this source book or this reference book.
Mm-hmm. No, love those. Love those. I mean, even just for, you know, I grew up in the 90s arrival of Star Wars. So there was no shortage of like, here's what the Death Star looks like on the inside. So like, cool. here's how this works.
I had a Star Trek one, Next Generation one that just explained all the technology.
Oh, that's so good.
Which is all fictional, but it was, you know, their best guess. it is very fun.
No, way into that. And like, I love that even with games, like art books and stuff. Like I just got the two volume Nier Automata world guide that has, you know, like all these explanations and stuff of, you know, weird little side things, in there.
Source books are good.
Source books are great. Give me more of them. Book. I just, you know, that's what I would like.
Love a source book. I'm going to, for tabletop, night, Riff is going to run a game, and then after that I'm going to do a game set in the Shadowrun universe so I can all the big hits.
Oh yeah.
You know, like all the big stories of it that like
do the bugs.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, do the bugs, do the as technology, do the, you know, all that shit. And I'm really excited about it because I've been going through the archives and just reading modules. Just to figure out which ones I want to use.
Yeah.
Or what I want to steal from them. And it's been like a really fun ritual.
Oh, nice.
Of just kind of like seeing stuff about this world. And there's like fun questions where you're like, oh, like in Shadowrun times, what is this place like? And like sometimes you'll get an answer. Is it like a crazy like ghoul city in Africa that's like real wild?
Oh, wow.
Just cool stuff. Like places I didn't know about.
Can you remind me what a ghoul is in Shadowrun?
It's a virus.
Oh, right. It's like the vampire virus. Yeah.
Yes, but there is a vampire virus as well. One is just the ghoul virus.
Okay.
But you know, you have to eat human flesh, like you're a zombie, but it's kind of like Lovecraft ghouls. Like you're not necessarily evil or anything.
Yeah. Gotcha. So it's more or less, it's a dietary restriction.
Yeah. It's like being a pescatarian.
Okay, cool.
In 2099. The original name of the source book was Pescatarian 2099.
Fish haven't changed that much. Some of them went extinct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Some of them are bigger.
what system are you using to run that? Because you're sure as fuck not using Shadowrun.
Nope. I've still been trying to find it, and I'm been looking at different systems. I'm trying to find like something that has the gear porn aspect of Shadowrun. And I think I'm actually going to do like a hack of Dungeon World.
Okay.
Because I know Dungeon World, and because I'm intimidated by designing tactical combat encounters. Like it's like an element of game design type stuff that I've never really done very much. Like when I've DM'd, I tend to just like try to make things dramatic, but I haven't tried to make things tactically challenging and interesting.
Right.
Which I think Levi is really good at. But I think I'm more about with this kind of thing. I'm more about the set piece and high concept shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Be fun. So anything else, any other Dragon Rider stuff?
I mean, I will open myself up for questions for you. I've explained the porting. I've explained a little bit about the the world of it. But yeah, I'll throw it to you for any questions about the Perniverse.
Okay, the extended Perniverse. What would, like, let's say you and I get teleported to Pern.
Okay.
And just as ourselves, we're not Pernians. We're just Gary and Cole.
Okay.
What's the first thing we do?
I mean, probably find a hold that does a craft that we know how to do. So no, we probably try. We are probably Borgs are different. I imagine the Borgs pop up outside of the holds. You know what? Okay. I probably don't know about the Borgs because they were not able to they weren't able to build on the surface because it would all be wiped away by the thread. But once they get rid of the thread, they might be able to build on the surface, and that might be the Borgs. Actually,
that's where the Borgs come from.
Yeah.
So we'd find a hold.
Yeah, we would probably try and get in with the Harpers, honestly.
Okay.
Who end up being like archivists and storytellers, most likely. Okay. And the Harpers usually play an instrument, or able to sing, or like artists. But there are not very many of them, and the training is very rigorous.
Okay. We would not be able to ride a dragon, probably.
You have to be chosen by the dragon, and generally, unless they are really,
the dragon has a no fatties policy. No fatties, no turtlenecks. Must be circumcised and have a BMI below this to ride me, buddy.
I'm just picturing just dragon Bumble. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh God. No. Unless it is a time before a pass. Usually the dragon riders are born within the weir. They very rarely recruit from outside. Okay. But we could have a fire lizard, which are like little pets, little pet dragons
that they genetically engineered to become.
Yes.
Dragons, according to the intro of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we went there, that's probably what we would do or be.
Good to know.
Yes.
I think this is my main question.
Okay.
Which is what happens if I get Dungeons and Dragons cartooned into this? You know?
It'd probably be pretty bored, you know?
Yeah.
Just agrarian medieval society, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would have a really hard time because there's no phone.
Right.
And no podcast or no video games.
Yes. That would be a problem.
Like one of my friends asked me recently how long, I was admiring how relaxed Pocket was in a seemingly uncomfortable place. And I was like, oh man, being a cat. And she asked me, she's like, how long would you want to be a cat if you could just pop back in, pop into cat life, pop out of cat life, like Tim Cat. And I was like, oh, and of course I had a bunch of annoying questions would my work life continue? Is it a body swap situation? Am I going to have to come back to a lot of questions? Why full grown human Gary is shitting in the litter box and stuff. But if it was just time collapsed, I just was a cat for a while and then just came back right the moment I left. Mm-hmm. I think a week is about how long I want that idyllic, no screen, sleeping a lot lifestyle.
Yeah, probably.
I would get sick of it.
If you have,
and then I would need some kind of stimulation.
If you have your own mind and your own need for stimulation, and I don't know, let's assume that you are not immediately attuned to whatever it is that cats see that we don't.
Sure.
Let's assume that there's only so much you can look out a window as a human with your human mind. Yeah.
Pocket watches TV with us all the time, and it makes me think that he's got that kind of situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to play an awful lot. And I'm like, yeah, of course, he's fucking bored, man. He's probably got a human mind in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think that's what happens?
Yeah.
You think that's why he bites at you? Because he wants out?
Yeah, he wants to play or to be out.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay, when you say he watches TV, do you mean that, if you just put the TV on and then left the room, would he follow you to be in the room that you're in? Or would he stay and watch the TV? Or is he just, like watching the TV because he is in the room with you and looking at what you're looking at?
He's watching the TV because we're all together.
Gotcha.
But he doesn't always follow us and he doesn't always watch TV. Sometimes he just hangs out in another room. He'll sleep in the bedroom while we're out.
Yeah.
But if we're watching TV, a lot of times he'll jump up on the little footrest thing we have and just kind of watch TV.
Yeah.
He watched me play Shadow of Mordor for an hour and a half yesterday. It was fun.
Yeah. No, Greta and Dottie, they have a very bad habit of trying to reach up to screens and touch whatever moves on them. So
yeah, bad upbringing. If people like the show, what can they do, Cole?
Well, they can support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. For just $5, you get 2 extra episodes per month. At $10, you can get access to all 110 plus at this point, I believe. It's a good value, I think.
The idea of me criticizing how you raise your cats when I have like Dennis the Menace over here, like, is pretty ludicrous.
I like that a lot. I raised
Problem Child. I raised Clifford. The Martin Short one.
We called him Pocket because Damien would be too obvious.
Yeah. You can also leave us rating reviews. I think you mentioned that. And we appreciate you. You should take care and take care of yourself, and we will be back
shortly. Thank you for understanding. This episode came out a little bit late because of a recording disruption. Gary, tell the nice people, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling better.
Good.
My finger is still numb.
Okay.
And reaching for things.
Okay.
Pretty uncomfortable.
All right.
But no, just like regular pain.
That's good.
So I'm back to being functional. My hope was today to get to the point where I could play Mortal Shell in the office chair. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still couch locked for one more day, but I should be able to start working on that tomorrow.
You mean Remnant?
So that is what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, I just decided to go back.
Yeah.
And I decided to do New Game Plus.
We played all of that game. We played it and talked about it. So yeah.
It's going to be a book report episode. playing Remnant. So I'm doing much better.
Cool.
And I have a physical therapy appointment in a couple weeks. So hopefully this will stop happening.
Hopefully.
Yeah. That's my hope. I mean, even if it's just every couple of years, it's not that often, but also, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, no, it can't just be laid low for no reason.
And this time was way worse because I could not like really lay down. Like I couldn't be comfortable. Like last time I could like find a position and just kind of be in it.
Uh-huh.
And if I got up and did stuff, it hurt. Here, like laying down also hurt.
Oh, that's awful.
So it was just it was really, really bad.
No, laying down's where I'm a Viking. Like I cannot imagine having that being taken away from me.
My top three positions.
Oh yeah. No, for sure.
You know, easy.
Was there a comfortable position? Like, could you invest in a sex swing and then just kind of like find a configuration and just kind of swing?
No.
No?
The swing didn't work.
Okay. All right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, sadly.
Sadly.
Sadly. Do you have what should they do until next time?
Well, Gary, until next time, as at Jammin 39. Wait a second here. One second. Until next time. Gary?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hit record.
Oh.
Shit.
Is that a fake?
Yeah, it is.
That's the worst feeling. There's no replay value to recording a podcast.
I know, right?
It is like absolutely the fucking worst.
Yeah. Good job, Kevin. So, good job, Jammin.
Good job, Kevin. Yeah, good job. Fuck you.